Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Friday, March the 12th. We're going to check with our friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. We're going to talk about President Biden's speech last night, a speech where I think he failed miserably to bring the country together. I mean, if that was the objective of the speech, he didn't do very well because the things that he said and the attitude that he took. So I don't think it was a great speech at all. I think, in fact, it was really a missed opportunity, and we'll get into that with George in a second. And then, of course, we'll look at what's happening on the border. I have a post today at the American Thinker talking about how people in Mexico are starting to worry that President Biden's border policy may actually be helping some of the criminal elements in Mexico, and that's starting to cause a little concern south of the border. But let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. George, give me a weather report. We got a beautiful weather up here.
Oh, it's gorgeous here. We may have a little bit of rain on Sunday, but it is absolutely – the past 4 days have just been absolutely fantastic here in San Antonio. It got up to 76 today. With the humidity, it felt a little warmer. But it's just been really, really good. We're supposed to get a slight cooling later this next week. But cooling in the sense that it'll only get in the mid 60s. Nothing like we went through last month.
Yeah, nothing like what we went through a month ago. Yeah, nothing like that. It feels like baseball season. A couple of weeks away.
Yes, it does.
We'll be talking baseball. Well, George, before we get into the really serious stuff, and there is a lot of serious stuff on the table today, I just thought we'd remember. I saw this in the news today, and I couldn't believe it. I had to double check it. But Barbara Feldon, that pretty young woman who used to be Agent 99. On that show, Get Smart, with Maxwell Smart. It was actually like a comedy show about a secret agent, and they would do a lot of stupid things. It was on at the same time that The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Well, Barbara Feldon, who I think most boys like me had a crush on Barbara Feldon many years ago, she's 88 years old today, George. That is shocking. I'm sitting there saying, oh, come on, that cannot be true. But it is true, George.
I really, when I hear things like that about the age of these folks that, we used to watch on TV and just, they were part of our lives at that point, and how old they are now. I can't believe it because then it makes me wonder, well, how old am I?
Yeah, for me, a point of realization that I was getting old was when I started going to baseball games and the players were like really younger than me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden players were, I was watching major league players who were born in the 1970s and the 1980s. And I'm saying, oh my goodness. I remember when they were born in the 1940s or the 1950s,
Yeah.
Now,
well,
all
I remember
of a sudden,
somebody called me sir. And it stunned me. I said, what?
Yes.
And, it took me a while to get used to it. Now I'm just used to it. But, oh, my gosh, somebody called me sir, and I thought, my gosh. So I had to look in the mirror.
When you walk into one of these fast food places and they say, would you like the senior benefit?
Yes.
And I go, not really.
Do I look senior?
I don't really want that. I may qualify for it, but I don't want to think that way. But anyway, but we got a couple of big topics, George, and wanted to get your reaction to a couple of them. President Biden last night. You know, for me, the bottom line, George, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, but for me, the bottom line last night is that I think he missed a great opportunity to make a little peace with people like you and me. Had
yep.
he said last night, look, I just want to take a minute here and show my appreciation for the Trump administration and what they did with the vaccine and the thousands of people who worked with the president on this effort. I just want to say thank you for having done that. We appreciate it. And, you know, he could have said something like that, George, and at least for me that would have been okay. But no, he went in the other direction. He starts talking about how a year ago there was denial. I don't know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the one who was criticizing President Trump for closing the flights to China. So who was
yep.
denying? So anyway,
and,
I just
and Kamala was the one that was telling people that to be careful about taking the vaccine because it was produced during the by a Trump edict or by a Trump order. I mean, you
right.
know, it was very shallow and very short-sighted, not to mention, you know, a very small character. His presentation was self-centered, and it really, really was a missed opportunity to truly unite the country, if that's
right.
what he really wants to do. But
yeah,
I just don't get that. That's what they want to do. I think that what they want to slap. They want to slap Trump so much that it gets in the way of their trying to say anything positive.
Right. You know, it reminds me, George, of the 15-year-old girl who breaks up with her boyfriend and then goes into her iPhone and deletes every photo of her boyfriend, every
yeah.
message, everything. It's like it's childish what he did last night. And had he just taken a minute and tell the truth. I mean, the truth is that the vaccine happened under the Trump watch. But George, there's something else, and you know this as well as anybody because you worked in the federal government under President Reagan and President Bush. You know that there's so many people in the federal government who get a lot of things done. I mean, the president gets the credit and the blame. I know that. But something like this with the vaccine and with COVID, there were hundreds if not thousands of people in the federal government who were in state governments too, who were doing a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of the work that doesn't get in the news. And if I was one of those people, I'd be pretty angry too because
yep.
I'd be sitting there saying, wait a minute, what about me? What about the hours that I spent working on this? Why don't you recognize
you know,
me?
It was so... It was such a fantasy that he presented, making it sound like nothing was happening until he came along a few
right.
weeks ago.
Right.
I mean, you know, that is just so ridiculous
yeah.
that it you know, either you're delusional or you're just an absolute liar and a hypocrite. I mean, take your pick. Just take
no,
your
I
pick.
Agree. I think it was just absolutely terrible, a terrible choice. Or a terrible decision, I'll put it that way, considering what he could have done. Like I said before, he could have, you know, given that speech last night, but instead of getting partisan, he could have said in the middle of the speech, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank President Trump for what they did with the vaccine, and we may have political differences, but, you know, we have to recognize good work. He could have said something like that, and I think that would have gone over well with people like you and me. At least we would have been, I think we would have felt better. But that speech last night.
Oh, we certainly, you know, certainly we would not be having this conversation. We'd be,
well, that's it.
You know,
we'd be having a different conversation.
Talking, now talking a little bit more in a more congenial way. But no, you know, it was almost like he went out of his way to slap to take slaps at Trump and ignore the facts. That's the problem that I've got. He was so busy slapping at Trump that he ignored reality, the truth, and the facts.
That's right, and that's exactly right. And he just, I don't know, sometimes, I mean, before we get to the next topic, I wanted to put this idea on the table, because the one thing that I've been most surprised by President Biden is how far to the left he's operating. I would have expected a man like this, who's been in Washington 50 years, who he knows the city, he knows how things work. I would have expected a man like this coming in with a 50-50 Senate, almost a 50-50 House, with 31 state legislatures right now run by the Republican Party. I mean, with a Supreme Court that is 6-3, in theory, conservative. And I would have expected a man like that to say to his subordinate, folks, we can't do this by executive order, and I need Republicans along. I'm not going to sign a COVID bill without Republicans. I need Republicans. So what does it take to get some Republicans on board? Because I need them for the sake of the country. No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. They passed this bill. Not a single Republican votes for it. And so now we have basically a one-party COVID bill, much like Obamacare, 10 years ago or whatever. How is that good for the country? I don't get that, George.
No. It's this concept. I mean, you know, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's a Marxist concept where, you know, the party rules. And everybody lines up behind the party, and never mind, you know, if you don't want to deal with the ideology of the party, then you're going to be canceled. It's that simple.
Oh yes, it is a Marxist idea. It is an idea of, you know, of like a one-party government. Basically, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a one-party government. But the problem is, you know, one thing you could say about Obama. At least Obama in 2008 came in with a bigger electoral victory.
Yes.
I mean, he picked up the
he didn't pick up
the House, but I mean he came in with a much stronger political position.
No, initially
he did. So you could argue that he could say, look, guys, I've got a mandate here. It wasn't really a mandate, but he did win by 5 or 6 points over. I mean, that's not
a
mandate.
He won by a whole lot more than Biden did.
That's right. So, I mean, you could argue that, you know, to me, a mandate is what Reagan got in 1984 when you win by 20 points. That's a mandate.
Right.
But, you know, when it's 5 or 6 points, that's a good victory, but that's not necessarily a mandate. But my point is that when President Obama came in, he had a much larger victory. He was in a much stronger political position. But President Biden isn't. He is in a very weak political position. And I honestly, George, I would have expected him to realize that and to say, folks, I mean, say to Nancy Pelosi and say to Chuck Schumer, guys, if you want me to sign something, you got to get at least in the Senate, you got to get at least 20 Republicans, and in the House, you got to get 30 or 40 Republicans. Otherwise, I'm not going to sign it. He could have said that, could have gotten a much better deal.
You know, if he truly wants to unify, it would seem to be that would be the play that he would use. That would be the playbook, is that, you know, we control by a thin margin, so let's try to get more Republicans involved. But that doesn't seem to be the play at all.
No, it's not at all. And it's the exact opposite. They're governing like they won by a landslide.
Yep.
And they didn't. I mean, this was an election.
Well,
my worry
is that buried in this relief package that just passed is a lot of stuff related to the Voting Rights Act and expanding it, and to allow vote by mail and to, I mean, I'm really worried. I'm really worried about it, about national elections in the coming future, in the coming, in the future, because it could open the gate to a lot of shenanigans.
Well, it'll be what we saw in 2020 multiplied by 50. No, I agree with you. But I think the good news, let me wrap up this segment by saying this. I think the good news, George, is that his popularity isn't that strong. If you look at the at the polling data, he's not he's not really doing that well. And at the same, and I also, I'm happy to see more and more states challenging these executive orders in the courts. And I just hope that 2022 gives us the House back and the Senate. And I think I would feel a lot more comfortable about all of this if we had a Republican Senate and a Republican House, because at least that would check it. That would check it.
Yep, me too.
Check them all the way. Let me take a break, George, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation with our friend George Rodriguez, and we're going to get into the border and what's going on down there. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting with our friend George Rodriguez. George, I saw a note today that you're going to be speaking on Tuesday, right? Tell me about that.
Well, I spoke last night in Pearland, in Pearland, Texas, to the Republican Women's Club down there. It was very, very good. Lots and lots of interest regarding the issue of immigration. Everybody's wondering what's going on and wants to, hear about it. And the same thing on Tuesday, I will be speaking to a group in Houston that is organized around the issue of immigration and border control. So that will be fun.
Well, that's going to be I think the situation of the border is going to be a real political problem for the Democrats. Look at Representative Cuellar and the way he's reacting to all of this, but it looks to me right now, George, that I think the Biden administration has sort of lost control of the situation on the border. And they're fighting back. They're arguing that it's not a crisis and, you know, that it's a problem, not a crisis. I mean, they're playing games. And when you have to do that in politics, you're losing. When you have to, you know, play games like that, not really a crisis. Well, it is a crisis because there are people coming into the country. There are people coming in who have not been, you know, checked out for COVID or whatever. But to me, George, the biggest thing is that none of this was explained during the campaign. He never said during the campaign, "This is what I'm going to do."
I'll take it even further. I mean, I was really angry about last night was that he didn't mention anything about this last night. Not only did he take credit for the COVID vaccine and, literally ignore everything that Trump had done, he said nothing, absolutely nothing about the crisis at the border. And it is a crisis at the border. What he has done by reversing all of the policies, just because they were Trump policies, by reversing all of the Trump policies, is that Trump had controlled the border in a way that it had never been controlled in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
People were waiting to cross. People were, the Border Patrol had things under control. The biggest problem continued to be the cartels, but even the cartels were trying to figure out how to work things because they couldn't depend on illegal immigration. Well, that's all gone down the drain. There were earlier I was telling you about this group of Venezuelans that was caught, and that's, you know, that's very, very tragic, because the Venezuelans, for example, have had a special relation to immigration, to American immigration, mm-hmm. because of the situation that they're in, but suddenly, you know, they don't want to wait, and I understand that people do not want to wait and go through the proper procedure. So now we've got, you know, this whole situation has encouraged even people who can enter legally, but to have a long wait, to go, you know, out of the norm and enter illegally. It's
right.
Just incredible. I mean, the thing that he's done, the kids, the minors, unaccompanied minors that are entering, the number of folks that are coming in, declaring asylum when we know darn well that, you know, they probably don't even qualify, when we've got folks who are going around through the bushes, and if they're caught, they declare that they ask for asylum, the whole catch and release situation. I mean, it is an absolute disaster.
It is. No, it is, and the tragedy, as you say, of the Venezuelans is that they got to get to Mexico. How they're getting to Mexico, I don't know, because I guess that you could fly Caracas, Mexico City, maybe, but I think a lot of these people are crossing Central America. They're going through Colombia and just walking north, which is a very dangerous trip. I mean, aside from the legality of it, you know, walking like that through Central America, it's a very dangerous thing. Even walking through Mexico is a very dangerous thing. So you've got that issue, but it's interesting. Reuters had an article about this the other day, George, and I wrote a post about this at the American Thinker today where, you know, a lot of people in Mexico are starting to worry a little bit about how this border policy could impact them, because it's one thing, you know, Mexicans don't mind if Mexicans come to the United States because they send money back to their families at the very least. So it becomes a, you know, it's money for Mexico, you know, all those remesas, you know, remittances that come back. But now, like you're saying, Mexico is now becoming a highway to come to the United States to take advantage of President Biden's border policies. So you now have a bunch of people who are going to coming in. Criminal elements are taking advantage of this by charging people. I saw a story, George, remember that terrible crash over in San Diego recently with that van with like 15 people who were killed or something? Well,
yes.
They found out that some of the people who were in that van had paid about $10,000 to come to the United States.
Yep.
Where
yep.
do these people get $10,000? I mean,
that's
look,
exactly
if,
right.
if you live in Mexico and you've got $10,000, you're not going to pay a coyote to bring you. You just take a plane and come to the United States, because
exactly.
most of them have, you know, visas, or they have business reasons to come, or they've got property here. So they don't have to pay somebody $10,000 to come up. You know, they'll come legally and they'll come through the airports. So my question, you know, if I was talking to President Biden, I would say, where are these people getting $10,000? What are they mortgaging to come up here, you know? And then is it one of those situations, George, where, you know, they put a down payment to get to the border, and then once they're up here, they have to pay the cartels, or they have to do something for the cartels for that money? So, you know, this whole thing has criminality written all over it, criminality that Mexico doesn't want to deal with, and criminality that I don't think a lot of our cities want to deal with. So it's just, like you say, it's just a terrible policy. One of the best things that President Trump did was to figure out a way of fixing that border. And, well, it's a mess now, George, and you live close to it, so you talk to Border Patrol people all the time, and they cannot be happy, George.
No, the morale is extremely low. The morale is extremely low with the Border Patrol. Today there was an announcement by the new Biden administration appointees over there at Homeland Security, asking for volunteers. Get this, okay? Asking for volunteers to come help to process the the kids that are entering the United States. And, you know, which has caused an absolute, you know, uproar with the Border Patrol agents, because you wouldn't need volunteers if you were just enforcing the law. If you were enforcing the law and telling people that they have to stay on the other side until their number comes up, and then they have to bring their proper documentation and everything else, you would not have to ask for volunteers, because you've got such a high volume of people entering, of children entering. And, you know, but that seems to be lost on these people. These folks, again, they turn around and the person that was making the announcement for the Biden administration blamed Trump. Blamed Trump for the kids having to wait on the other side. Well, you know, that's the process. That's the procedure. And the reason that you've got to wait is because you have to have an orderly entrance.
Yeah.
And now that since you don't have orderly entrance into the United States, now you're asking for volunteers to help you? It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling that they just don't get it.
No, they don't, but I think the American people do.
I sure hope so.
The best evidence of that is the way Representative Cuellar is reacting to this. You know,
yeah.
Representative
Cuellar
down there, he's sending a warning, hey, you got to stop this. Now, of course, the beauty of what President Trump did is that by forcing them to remain in Mexico, that basically stopped the caravans. Because, you know, they would
That's
come
it.
To the border and they would have to stay in Mexico. These people don't want to stay in Mexico.
And
That's
Mexico
not their objective.
Stopped. Mexico helped to stop them because Mexico didn't want them.
That's right.
For
That's
them?
Right. But
the Mexicans
why would they want
started getting, saying, no, you're not going to stick around here in my backyard.
Yeah, but I mean, why would anybody want people going through their country? So now it's a real mess, and let's hope that when he holds a press conference, and whenever he does, we understand at the end of the month he's going to do it. Well, let's hope so.
They considered last night a press conference.
Well, he could have used last night. He could have said something last night. He could have said something today. But he seems to be, you know, he's not doing anything impromptu, if that's the right word. I mean, it seems like everything he's doing, there's a script. They tell him what to say. Everything is, he's very much under control. And I'm not sure that's good. I think that projects a certain weakness that I don't like. I think you want the President of the United States to be scripted to a point. But when you are scripted completely, what that tells me is that they're afraid of having him say anything in public, George.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got it. I mean, when you're that scripted, I mean, you may as well just be muzzled.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And then you begin to wonder who's really running things.
Exactly.
I mean, something that I've worried about a couple of times. Well, George, you know, lots of crazy things happening down in your neighborhood. Hopefully, you know, the COVID thing, too. People were coming in without being checked for COVID. They got on a bus. Now, I understand that Greyhound, I think we talked about this afternoon on the phone, that Greyhound, you know, is basically saying, no, we're not going to let anybody into our buses unless they've been checked out for COVID. That presents a problem, because I assume they're using Greyhound to move people, George.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a newscast report here in San Antonio this evening regarding the number of aliens that are now beginning to stay here in San Antonio, because they aren't going north because Greyhound is not taking them. And certainly they don't have the money to fly. And even if they did fly, you know, the airlines are beginning to worry about that. And, you know, lots of people, the few people that were starting to take the airlines again, are saying that they're not going to get on an airplane with somebody that we don't know whether they had the vaccine or whether they've had COVID or not, or, you know, what kind of condition they're in. The other problem, again, is just the general hygiene. The general hygiene. I mean, these folks are coming in, and they, you know, they have some pocket money, but you know, the restroom there at the at the bus station at the Greyhound terminal is just a mess because people are bathing in it, are bathing in the sinks, or bathing in the in the commodes, or the commodes are not being used properly. It's a mess. I mean, it's
Well, I mean, look, these people, if they travel the country, they're not exactly staying at the Holiday Inn when they travel. Most of them are probably staying out on the road, you know, on the streets. So they're not, you know, they're not bathing properly. They're not cleaning properly. I mean, that's a problem, too. Hygiene is also a terrible problem. Well, George, I mean, it's just a mess. It's just a mess.
What
do you think of our governor? I think he stood up pretty strongly. I'm proud of him.
I think he did very, very well in standing up. Yep. I think he did very, very well. And I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot for folks to, you know, to the states to just to, I mean, to enact their own defense at this point.
Right.
Because we've got a government that's very, very, in my opinion, just very, very, a federal government that's moving in the wrong direction, very much in the wrong direction.
Well, they're selectively enforcing the law, which is a bad description. I mean, you either enforce the laws as they are, or you create chaos, which is what we're seeing on the border. I mean, if you're going to say, no, we're not going to enforce the law on the border, well, how do you enforce it anywhere else? And that's the problem. That's the problem that, you know, pretty soon people start saying, well, gee, you know, I don't want to pay taxes.
Exactly.
Or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. And that's the risk, I believe, in selective enforcement of the law. Well, George, good luck in your speaking engagement, and let us know how it went. I'm sure you'll do very well. And when you get around Texas like that, are you driving or flying? I'm just curious.
Well, no, lately I've been driving. Lately I've been driving.
Okay.
The flights have been, I mean, in some cases the flights, the few flights that there have been are very, very packed. Or they're not scheduled at the right time that I need them. So,
right.
You know, so mostly I've been driving, and everything's been close by anyway. I mean, you know, relatively
right.
For Texas.
Yeah, you can get to Houston from where you are, what, 2 or 3 hours?
Uh-huh, 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5. Yeah, so it's not that bad. Not that bad. You can stay there and come back the next day or something like that. Well, George, have a great weekend. Good luck in your speaking engagement, and look forward to our next chat.
All righty. You take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas talking a little bit about what in the world is going on down on the border. Not a good situation. Not a good situation. Quite a mess, to say the least. Quite a mess. Thank you so much for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Good night, everybody.